Hello and welcome, explorers. A fresh moment is beginning here on Faithfully Explore. I'm your guide, Laura, and I'm inviting you on an adventure into stillness. Now, that might sound curious. An adventure without rushing, without noise, without doing more? Just stay with me. Settle in, let your shoulders soften. Take a slow breath in and an even slower breath out. We're about to discover how stillness itself can be an adventure. Picture this. We're standing in a Zen garden just as morning wakes up. The ground is cool beneath your feet. Somewhere nearby, a temple bell rings. Gong! Deep, gentle, and steady. You breathe in the cool morning air. You breathe out, and everything feels a little lighter, a little calmer. This is the feeling of Zen.
Faithfully explores the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the global track. Filling up our belief backpack.
Before we jump into stories and play, let's explore what Zen actually is. To do that, we travel back in time about 1,500 years ago. Picture ancient China, winding rivers, tall mountains, and monks in robes carrying scrolls. Zen is a special kind of Buddhism that started in China around the 6th century. How did Zen start? According to legend, a Buddhist monk from India named Bodhidharma brought his teachings to China. He taught a new way of practicing Buddhism that focused on meditation and personal experience instead of lots of scripture or rituals. The word Zen simply means meditation. At its heart, Zen is the practice of sitting very still and quiet to help our minds feel clear and our hearts feel kind. Zen is part of the Mahayana Buddhism, common in East Asia, and it emphasizes direct experience through meditation, often guided by a teacher. Bodhidharma, remember him? He arrives in China around the year 520. Legend says that he was very determined. It is said Bodhidharma once meditated facing a wall for 9 years without speaking. Can you imagine? 9 years is longer than all of elementary school. I can't even sit still for 9 minutes without scratching my nose. This legendary dedication shows how much patience and focus Zen monks aimed for. Bodhidharma's teachings took root in China as Zen Buddhism. Then Zen travels to Japan. It became popular around the 1200s. In Japan, two schools of Zen took shape. Rinzai Zen and Soto Zen. Here's a simple way to remember them. Rinzai is known for riddles, and Soto is known for sitting. Rinzai monks use koans, which are those tricky riddles or puzzles with no easy answer. Have you heard the famous one? What is the sound of one hand clapping? Go ahead, try to clap with one hand. Not much sound, huh? Koans like this are meant to surprise your mind. Soto focuses on zazen, which means sitting quietly. In Soto, the idea is just to sit quietly, usually facing a wall, and let thoughts come and go without chasing them. They believe if you just sit consistently, enlightenment will come when the time is right. Okay, so history aside, what does it feel like to practice Zen? Let's step into a Zen monastery, a place where monks or nuns live and practice Zen. You might be picturing a peaceful temple building with curved roofs and maybe a garden of raked sand and stones. Those are Zen rock gardens, which show a love for simplicity and design. A day in a Zen monastery has a special rhythm. Usually monks wake up very early, often before dawn when the sky is still dark. A bell might ring to signal the start of the day. They do a lot of meditation sessions, sitting quietly on cushions. discipline is important too. The schedule is strict. Meditation, work, study, rest, repeat. And there are teachers called Zen masters who guide students. Sometimes in Zen, a student will go for a private talk with a master to discuss their meditation or maybe answer a koan. The riddle might be, show me your original face before you were born. Whoa, what does that mean? And guess what? Monks and nuns laugh and smile too. People sometimes think Zen is super serious. While it's true they practice a lot of silence, Zen folks also appreciate humor and seeing the joy in simple things. Zen isn't only in Asia now. In the last 100 years or so, Zen spread to Europe, America, and beyond. Nowadays, you can find Zen meditation centers in many cities. Have you heard of mindfulness classes or maybe even seen a meditation app? At its core, Zen teaches us to be mindful, fully present in the here and now. Let's try that for a second. Wherever you are, take a gentle breath in through your nose. Now let it out through your mouth. What do you feel? Maybe your chest rising? That simple feeling of, I am here, I am alive, that's a bit of Zen. Zen is a way of closely looking at our life and the world so we can share love and compassion with everyone and everything around us. Being present helps us notice the beauty of a tree or even notice our own feelings so we don't get overwhelmed by them. Zen also puts a big emphasis on compassion. In Buddhism, a bodhisattva is someone who wants to wake up and also help others wake up too. It's a fancy way of saying they want to help everyone. One very famous modern Zen teacher was Thich Nhat Hanh from Vietnam. He taught mindfulness and kindness all around the world. One of his quotes is, peace in every step. I love that. It means every step you take can be an act of peace, if you do it mindfully. And how about simplicity? Zen often reminds us that we don't need lots of stuff to be happy. If you ever visit a Zen temple, you might notice it's pretty bare. Maybe just some woven straw mats on the floor, plain walls, and one flower in a vase or a single scroll of calligraphy. This minimalist style is intentional. It helps the mind stay uncluttered. Simple doesn't mean empty or boring. It can be beautiful in its own way. Zen teaches that when we simplify the outside, less clutter, fewer distractions, our inside, our mind, can become clearer too. Imagine with me. Imagine we've traveled high into the mountains of Japan. It's late afternoon. The sky is warm and golden. In front of you is a small Zen temple. Simple wood, paper doors, very quiet. We take off our shoes and step inside. Notice the cool floor beneath your feet. Before we go further, let's become very still, like bamboo. Whether you're standing, sitting, or just imagining, let your spine grow tall, as if you're rooted into the earth. Take a slow breath in, and as you breathe out, gently sway just a little to one side. Now back through center and softly to the other side. No rush. Bamboo bends, but it doesn't break. One more breath in. This time, a tiny sway forward and a tiny sway back. Then return to center. Still, grounded, calm. Now we walk slowly into the temple garden. White gravel rests beneath our feet, smoothed into gentle line. A single leaf falls. You lift it away without hurrying. Nearby, koi fish glide through a small pond, orange shapes moving quietly through water. Everything feels unhurried here. A bell rings softly, inviting us inside. We sit on a cushion in the meditation hall. Your back is tall but relaxed, shoulders soft. A singing bowl sounds, the sound fading, fading, until it disappears. For a few breaths, we sit in silence. If a thought appears, you notice it and let it drift away. The bell sounds once more. Meditation is finished. Notice how your body feels now. Maybe calm, maybe quiet, maybe simply here. We bow in thanks and step back outside. The sun is setting. Cool mountain air brushes your face. For a moment, everything feels just right. That calm place you visited? You can return there anytime with one breath and a moment of stillness.
Konnichiwa. Hola. Bonjour.
Let's cross our friendship bridge. Now it's time to cross our friendship bridge. The place where we connect what we've learned about Zen with other beliefs and traditions around the world. Zen is one beautiful path to peace and wisdom, but it's not the only one. One of my favorite parts of making this podcast is discovering how many different traditions, stories, and beliefs quietly share the same big ideas. Zen teaches us to slow down, notice the moment, and sit in stillness. And guess what? Many other traditions also make space for quiet reflection and calm. In Christianity, some monks and believers practice contemplative prayer. They sit in silence, gently repeating a sacred word or simply opening their hearts to God. Not rushing, not asking, just being present. In Islam, daily prayers include words and movement. There's also a practice called dhikr, which means remembrance. This can be a soft, repeated saying of God's names, done slowly and peacefully to help the heart feel centered and close to the divine. In Hinduism, meditation and yoga bring the mind and body together through breath, focus, and gentle movement, helping people feel balanced and connected. In Judaism, some people practice a quiet personal kind of prayer or meditation, often done alone in nature, where they speak honestly from their heart or sit silently with their thoughts. So our friendship bridge shows us something powerful. Zen values appear again and again across many faiths and philosophies. So even when beliefs look different on the outside, many of them teach us the same quiet wisdom on the inside. It's game time! Explorers, we're going to play a brand new Zen game called the Stillness Switch. Round one, breath switch. We are going to feel what it's like when breathing is big and powerful, and then when it becomes soft and natural. Breathe in through your nose, then breathe out strong and long through your mouth like a dragon blowing warm air. Again, in through your nose, and out like a dragon. In through your nose, and out like a dragon. Now, we flip the switch. Let your mouth close gently. Let your breath move in and out on its own. No pushing, no forcing. Just notice the air coming in and going out. Did your breath slow down all by itself? Did your body feel different after the big breaths? Round two, thought switch. we're going to try this stillness switch with our thoughts. Thoughts can be loud and busy, just like our breath was a minute ago, and that's okay. For a moment, let your mind be extra busy on purpose. What things are bothering you? What do you need to do? Now flip the switch. Imagine each thought floating away on a cloud. Now stop imagining anything at all. If a thought comes, let it come. If it goes, let it go. We're just resting here. Did your thoughts slow down on their own? Or did they just feel a little softer? If your thoughts didn't slow down, that's okay. Noticing them is a part of the practice too. You just practice turning calm on purpose. That's a Zen superpower. Knowing you can slow down anytime, anywhere. Let's tuck the stillness switch into our belief backpack. So when life feels loud or busy, we remember we can always flip it.
This week's challenge is...
Here's the challenge, the Zen Minute. Each day for the next 7 days, take 1 minute of stillness. Just 1 minute sounds easy, right? But you might be surprised. How to do your Zen Minute? Pick a time each day. Find a quiet spot and set a timer for 60 seconds. Close your eyes, take slow, deep breaths. Your goal is just to sit and do nothing but breathe for 1 minute. If thoughts pop up, that's okay. Imagine them floating by like clouds. When the minute is up, notice how you feel. Maybe more calm, maybe antsy. There's no wrong result. The point is to practice pausing. Try this every day. If 1 minute becomes easy peasy, try 2 minutes later in the week. I can't wait for you to try your Zen Minute. Good luck, young Zen seekers. What's inside our belief backpack this week? From our day of Zen, let's choose 3 simple treasures. First, mindfulness, being here. Zen reminds us to take life 1 moment at a time. When you breathe, just breathe. When you listen, really listen. If your mind feels busy or worried, you can pause and notice something simple, like your breath or the feeling of your feet on the ground. Being present helps life feel calmer and clearer. Second, compassion, being kind. Zen teaches care for all beings, including ourselves. Kindness towards friends, family, animals, and even someone who feels left out is part of the practice. And self-kindness matters too. When you make a mistake, take a gentle breath and remember, learning is part of growing. Third, acceptance, letting life be. Zen reminds us we don't need a lot to feel content. Doing one thing at a time can be more peaceful than doing many things at once. And when things don't go the way we hoped, we can practice staying steady. These are the 3 treasures we packed today: mindfulness, compassion, and acceptance. You don't have to use them all at once. Sometimes one slow breath is enough. Sometimes choosing kindness is the answer. And sometimes letting go brings the most peace. Your belief backpack is always with you, ready whenever life feels a little loud. Now it's time for my favorite part of the podcast. It's story time. I wonder what story we're gonna hear today. I have a special treat. A traditional Zen story. Zen Buddhists love teaching through short stories or parables. These stories often have a hidden lesson, kind of like fables. The one I've chosen is often called Good Luck, Bad Luck, Who Knows, or the story of the Zen farmer. It's one of my favorites because it carries a beautiful message about staying calm no matter what happens. Once upon a time, there was a farmer who lived in a small village. This farmer was known for being very wise and very, very calm. He had a modest farm and one trusty horse that helped him plow the fields. One day, the farmer's horse, his only horse, broke through the fence and ran away into the hills. The farmer searched, but the horse was gone. When the villagers heard, they came to the farmer and exclaimed,
"Oh no, your horse ran away. What terrible luck this is. How will you work your farm now?"
The farmer, seeing their concern, simply shrugged gently and said,
"Bad luck. Good luck. Who knows?"
The villagers were puzzled. They thought,
"He lost his only horse. Surely that's bad."
Feeling a bit confused by his answer, they went about their way. A week later, the farmer is out tilling the soil by hand when he looks up and sees a stunning sight. His horse is trotting back home, and 5 wild horses are following. It turns out the horse found a herd in the hills and brought them back. Suddenly, the farmer has not one, but 6 horses on his farm. When the villagers see this, they rush over excitedly.
"Wow! Now you have 6 horses. What wonderful luck."
They cheer. The farmer smiled as he corralled the new horses and replied calmly,
"Bad luck. Good luck. Who knows?"
Again, the villagers scratched their heads.
"Why is he saying bad luck when something good happened? Strange guy, that farmer."
Now the farmer had a son, a strong young man. The son decided to help his father train these new wild horses. As he was trying to ride one of the wild horses, he was thrown off and broke his leg badly. The son would have to stay in bed for weeks. He couldn't help on the farm now and was in pain. The villagers visited and moaned,
"Oh, you poor guys. Your son broke his leg. Such awful luck."
The father gave his son a comforting pat and told the villagers, once more,
"Bad luck, good luck, who knows?"
The villagers were flabbergasted. How could a broken leg possibly be good luck? They suspected the farmer was a bit too zen, and maybe not thinking straight, but he had that serene little smile, so they left him be. A month later, something happened in the country. A war had begun in the land. They were forcing all the boys and men to join the army. The soldiers took sons from many families in the villages. When they reached the farmer's house, they saw the son with his leg in a cast, still hobbling around.
"No good. This one can't fight."
And they moved on, leaving the farmer's son at home, while many other young men were marched off to war. The villagers were amazed. Many of their sons had been taken away, but the farmer's son was spared because of the broken leg. They came to the farmer, crying cheers of joy for him.
"How amazing! Your son gets to stay. What good luck that he broke his leg when he did."
And do you know what the farmer said, smiling gently? Can you guess? He said,
"Bad luck. Good luck, who knows?"
And at this point, the villagers didn't even argue. They finally got it. Life has twists and turns, and it's hard to know in the moment if something is truly bad or good. That's the end of the story of the Zen farmer. It's simple, but so deep, right? The farmer wasn't unhappy when his horse ran away, or happy when he got more horses. He just stayed calm and accepting. He understood that life can change in unexpected ways. So he didn't get too swept up in the highs or the lows. So what can we learn from it? Maybe that when something bad happens, it might lead to something good that you can't see yet. When something good happens, that too will bring its own challenges. Life is a mix, always changing. Zen wisdom tells us don't cling too tightly to good times or bad times. They both pass. Instead, try to face changes with a calm heart and a flexible mind, like bamboo in the wind, bending but not breaking. And now we conclude our day of stillness. I feel calmer and wiser. How about you? We learned that Zen isn't just something from a faraway temple. It's something we can practice anytime, anywhere, by being present, kind, and calm. I want to give you a big virtual high five. You did awesome. Remember, every time you take a slow breath instead of yelling when you're angry, or every time you notice a little beautiful thing, you're walking the Zen path, even if just a few steps. On Faithfully Explore, we believe that exploring other faiths and ideas makes our hearts bigger and our minds brighter. You added a bit of Zen wisdom to your belief backpack today, and I hope it helps you find stillness and happiness in this busy world. Thank you for practicing stillness with me today. Until our next adventure, this is Laura reminding you to stay curious, stay kind, and may your mind be like water, clear and calm. Maybe let's finish with one more deep breath together. Ready, breath in and out.